Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'm glad that Frank in Malta thought to ask the question. See, I've been asking about the Keystone XL pipeline for some time now. You guys remember me talking about it when I was back in Washington, D.C. for the presidential inauguration for Trump 47. I told you when we did the day after the inauguration, I did our show live from Congressman Zinke's office back on Capitol Hill, and you know, was hanging around in the Capitol complex there, you know, for most of the day until I had to take off for the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. And I told you I ran into a couple of Canadian guys who said, hey, we're here talking to people about the Keystone XL pipeline. We want to get it back up and running again. And then I told you subsequently that the premier of Alberta, which is kind of like the governor of Alberta, right? The premier, they have a premier, whereas in Montana, we have a governor. Even the premier of Alberta, she's been talking about getting the Keystone pipeline up and running. And so anyway, I thought, you know, yesterday we had Governor Greg Gianforte on the show, in a headline-making show, by the way, as well. You know, I asked the governor about the nine Republican state senators that have been voting with Democrats on committee assignments and rules and things like that. And then a caller out of the Gallatin Valley asked a great follow-up question, say, hey, Governor, no, where do you stand on these nine? That led to a very interesting response. And then now, Both the Senate President, the Republican Senate President, and the Republican Speaker of the Montana House have both sent out a statement in a press release that came out last night, basically criticizing the governor's comments. So anyway, we'll get to that back and forth here this morning on the show as well. But the Keystone XL pipeline, we went to the 9:35 break yesterday as the Governor Greg Gianforte was on the show with us, taking your phone calls and more. And that's when Frank in Malta, Frank runs the board there at KMMR Radio in Malta. So while I'm in here yapping doing the show, Frank is, you know, we've got great folks, affiliates all across the state that carry Montana Talks in that 9 o'clock hour of the show. Well, there's Frank there running the board in Malta. And so thankfully he wasn't falling asleep or getting bored by the show. So he threw out a question because he was listening in while he was running the board in Malta. And he said, hey, what about the Keystone XL pipeline? And so I thought, what the heck? Let's ask the governor about that, because, you know, we've been asking other folks. But it just seems like we keep getting kind of the same response. Yeah, there's people looking at it. Yeah, not much to report. The governor's response on the Keystone XL pipeline question was actually very interesting. Very interesting. And so I'll play a little bit of that audio. Maybe I'll play that first here coming up after the break. I know we got a million different things to talk about, a million different things to run through here. But we'll get to that clip here first, because not only did we get a chance to hear from Governor Greg Gianforte yesterday, but Donald J. Trump also posted on Truth Social. It's been shared on the Trump War Room on X as well, about that very topic, the Keystone XL pipeline as well. So stand by. We'll start there right after this. We got the stack of stuff. I'll see if I can find the tweet. If anything, I can just look on X much faster.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, look for partial sunshine at times. Can't rule out a chance for an early day rain shower for Billings and a chance for some light rain or snow showers for Bozeman. High temperatures by this afternoon reaching up into the mid-40s for Billings, upper 30s for Bozeman. For tonight, mid-20s for Bozeman, lower 30s, though, for lows for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Securing America.
The Pentagon is in a period of significant transition following Friday's firing of Joint Chiefs Chairman General C.Q. Brown, as well as Navy Chief of Operations Admiral Lisa Franchetti and Air Force Vice Chief General James Slife. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth defended the moves while appearing on Fox News Sunday.
The president deserves to pick his key national security and military advisory team.
Hegseth adding this assessment of the now former chairman.
He's an honorable man, not the right man for the moment.
Rhode Island Democratic Senator Jack Reed pushed back on the firings on ABC's This Week Sunday.
Apparently what Trump and Hegseth are trying to do is to politicize the Department of Defense.
The senator adding,
we're looking at a very dangerous undermining of the values of our military.
Hegseth, though, says only one value matters.
We're going to focus on warfighting and lethality.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Welcome to the jungle. What a great report. Ryan Hall called into the show from Guatemala. Over a dozen electric utility linemen from Montana are down in Guatemala right now as we speak, bringing electricity to remote villages for the first time. We've got some great photos, video, and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, full conversation with Attorney General Austin Knutson talking about the Trump effect as illegal aliens are already being deported from Montana. Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, nice. I see our producer, Caden, through the Harriet Hageman. She's the congresswoman from Wyoming instead of the Liz Cheney. Harriet Hageman spoke to CPAC over the weekend. RSBN, the Right Side Broadcasting Network, had video of the entire speech. And I've talked with our friends from RSBN at the Trump rallies, and they said, hey, you've got permission to use any of our stuff. Just credit RSBN, credit the Right Side Broadcasting Network. So, yeah, they've got the full speech by Harriet Hageman. I got to give the thing a listen. I got to give the thing a watch. But it looks like right away she goes right after Liz Cheney. So our producer, Caden, uploaded that into our AI software. So I'm reading some of the script right now. I'm going to have to play some of that audio here in the 6 o'clock hour. That's going to be a fun one. All right, but the reason I was looking at our AI software is because it's like, okay, we had the governor on for about 30, 40 minutes yesterday, took as many phone calls as we could sneak in. And it was right about 9:39 in the morning yesterday. So instead of, you know, listening to the whole audio again, I just searched our little AI software deal here and said, Keystone, find me the Keystone clip. All right, here you go. This was at about 9:39 yesterday morning. We came right out of the break with this. Really good question. Governor, did you have a chance to visit with the president about the Keystone XL pipeline and if it's a go, if it may be a go again? I know I've talked with some Canadians who said they're working on that very thing. The Alberta premier has said as much. What have you been hearing or chatting about?
Well, the economics supporting that project have not changed just because somebody decided didn't want it to happen. I did talk with Chris Wright, the new energy secretary, as well as I've been having some conversations with private sector concerns here in the U.S. that are ready and willing to put the capital forward if they knew they could get the permits. So I just think it's a matter of time. We need more pipelines to get energy to market. The place it's most acute is in the Northeast, where we're importing Russian crude oil to heat homes in the Northeast when we have nearly unlimited natural gas in Pennsylvania. We just can't get it there because we don't have a pipeline. I think the wind that's coming into the sails for those pipelines is going to help us with Keystone XL as well. It might get reincarnated as a slightly different project. What I've heard is it's probably going to cross the border in the same place, but it might tie into some pipelines in North Dakota, which already have a distribution network in place. So I'm encouraged by what I'm hearing. I don't have specific news to announce, but stay tuned.
Interesting. So when you say it might cross in the same place, so it would still cross into Phillips County and then maybe tie into North Dakota from there? Or?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I thought that was very interesting from the governor. And hey, thanks to Frank and Malta for raising the question. But of course, Malta is Phillips County. So the Keystone XL pipeline, that's where it would have first entered Montana. and, of course, would have left millions of dollars in its path all along the route if Joe Biden and the Democrats hadn't stopped that project. By the way, John Tester, you can thank him for the fact that there's no Keystone XL pipeline giving millions and millions of dollars to all of these eastern Montana counties, because he didn't do a dang thing to get that project up and running. And in fact, he voted against it when it mattered the most. Now, look, he's no longer in the Senate. So some might say, Aaron, why are you bringing that up? Because it's important to remind our listeners, for accountability's sake. And like I say, 2 years from now, 4 years from now, another Democrat is going to pop up. They're going to pretend to be a moderate. Oh, look at me. I'm just a blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be a phony shtick. It's going to be a phony game. And there's going to be some people out there that will be willing to fall for it. So they need to be reminded, hey, guys, you've seen this phony shtick before. It doesn't work out well for the state of Montana. But, yes, so we had the governor on. Let's see. That would have been, somebody do the math for me, not 24 hours ago. Take away three. So that would have been about, what, 21 hours ago. We had the governor on the show right here. And then 11 hours ago, look at what Rapid Response 47, that is the official Rapid Response account of the Trump 47 White House on X. I love their little profile here, by the way. Supporting POTUS's America First agenda and holding the fake news accountable. That's the description of the Rapid Response 47 account on X. So I shared this, that, hey, you... We had Governor Greg Gianforte on the radio on Montana Talks talking about this, describing talks with the administration about this very topic. And then look at yesterday what President Trump shared via Truth Social. Our country's doing really well. And today I was just thinking that the company building the Keystone XL pipeline that was viciously jettisoned by the incompetent Biden administration should come back to America and get it built now. I know they were treated very badly by sleepy Joe Biden, but the Trump administration is very different. Easy approvals, almost immediate start. If not them, perhaps another pipeline company. We want the Keystone XL pipeline built. That's what the president himself shared via X about 11 hours ago. And by the way, go to x.com/Aaron Flint if you want to see that and much more. All right, let's see. Harriet Hageman addresses the crowd at CPAC with her anti-woke address, and she really went after Liz Cheney. In fact, we've got a story on our Montana Talks website. That's where I found this video. That's where we snagged it from, was from our very own Montana Talks website. Harriet Hageman rips Liz Cheney and government waste. I'm going to hear it along with you coming up.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's an old Monty Python's comedy skit with an Imperial movie producer who summarily fires any one of his sycophant employees who comes up with an idea he doesn't like. The humor is watching them fly off the handle with inane ideas to try to curry favor. That image comes to mind as we watch the seismic shifts in federal policies of late, once requiring, now banning, hiring and spending policies that promote various social priorities. There are serious changes with many ramifications, not to mention being a theatrical spectacle of firing, stoppages, and reviews. It's clearly captured our attention and provoked cheers and jeers from advocates on all sides. But a clear casualty has been the predictability of government policy that plays an important role in many business decisions. Setting the ground rules for working with government, however onerous and complex, is something that thousands of organizations have adapted to. Spinning on a dime to tear them up will be expensive, and the prospect of it happening again in 4 years is daunting. I'm Patrick Barkey.
To you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. A scary moment on the House floor recently. Democratic Connecticut Representative John Larson froze up and abruptly ceased speaking when talking about Doge and Elon Musk. He halted and slurred several words before leaving the floor. Larson's office initially blamed the freeze on an adverse reaction to a new medication. But later, Larson saw the congressional attending physician. Doctors diagnosed Larson with a complex partial seizure. The Connecticut Democrat had a heart valve replacement years ago because of a condition he was born with, and that can later cause symptoms, which is what he experienced recently. In a statement, Larson said, quote, "Sometimes people with this condition can later develop symptoms such as the momentary change in speech or movement, and that was apparent. A complex partial seizure is described as a type of epilepsy in adults, that causes a change in consciousness and often lasts between 30 seconds and a few minutes. Physicians prescribed Larson a medication that the congressman said, quote, will greatly reduce the chance of this happening again. After missing 2 days of votes, Larson returned to his regular schedule. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins, a former policy advisor to President Trump in his first term, is all on board with her boss's government downsizing, including at USDA. Rollins weighed in on Trump's order to vastly downsize the federal government during a recent interview on AgriPulse's open mic.
Untold numbers of new people that have come to work for the government, the climate programs, the DEI programs. Just in the last 24 hours, we've canceled almost 100 DEI programs.
But in the process, froze farm conservation and equipment contracts and even targeted local farm-to-food programs with any diversity connection, all despite multiple court restraining orders. USDA told the Washington Post there's not a blanket freeze, and Rollins freed up $20 million a week ago for some conservation contracts and vowed more announcements. However, she insists that the goal is to redirect savings to farmers and ranchers, not to upend vital services as USDA shrinks.
The great people working in the local FSA offices and the other offices, those are the people that we will rely on the most to make sure that we're doing our job, that we're measuring our success.
Meanwhile, Rollins has a new target in mind, the SNAP program, or food stamps, which she says has grown 30 to 40% just in the past 4 years. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Sale season's here again, and there are a lot of black-hided Angus bulls on the market, but not all of them are registered. Why take the risk? Don't gamble on unproven genetics. Invest wisely with registered, powered by Angus bulls. Backed by the power of the American Angus Association and 80 million data points, registered Angus bulls give you the confidence in your buying decisions. Don't buy an imposter. Look for the registration number. Buy the power. Buy registered Angus bulls.
Come join us at the Stevenson Angus Spring Production Sale on Sunday, March 2nd. 325 Angus sale, including 100 2-year-olds and 110 yearling bulls. Age advantaged and PAP tested, these bulls are designed to improve performance, carcass, and maternal function. Also offering 115 females, including April calving cows and yearling heifers. The sale will be at the White Sulphur Springs Ranch and broadcast live for remote buyers. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at StevensonAngus.com.
Well, the American Sheep Industry Association Market News app was decommissioned on January 1st, but there's still plenty of opportunities for producers to access necessary market information. The USDA Market News app gives users instant access to market reports and information published by the USDA, including sheep markets. One popular feature from the old ASI Market News app was the wool calculator, and that feature is now available at sheepusa.org/calculator. It allows producers to see the current price of wool in both clean and greasy terms, as well as how prices increase or decrease. And finally this morning, with bird flu shrinking our nation's egg supply, the National Chicken Council is asking FDA to change its rules and let broiler producers send their surplus eggs for breaking. FDA and USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service, though, rejected those same petitions in 2023 seeking similar relief. Granting the request, though, would release some 400 million eggs. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We had a bunch of messages that came in yesterday on the Montana Talks app while we had the governor on this show, and I wasn't able to get to all of them. I think we tried to get to as many callers as we could. Yeah, if it comes down to do I take a caller or do we throw in another message, I'm typically going to go with a caller. But we did have some good messages that came in. Brandon in Billings yesterday said this. Good morning. My wife and I were able to have a maskless wedding back in April of 2021 due to Governor Gianforte removing the ridiculous mask mandate. A big thank you to him, and we have voted for you every time. That's from Brandon and Billings. How sad is that, that somebody has to say thank you to a governor for allowing them to go to a wedding without being forced to cover their faces with a mask? Isn't that, I mean, it just tells you how pathetic the former Democrat governor of Montana was, right? Anyway, that was one. Let's see. Carol, I think Carol's in Billings. Please ask the governor to check on some of the ideas that Wyoming legislators have. One really good one is to base property taxes on the price paid, not on estimated value. I totally agree with that one, Carol. I think it's absurd that we pay property taxes based off of the value, the estimated value of the house, instead of what we actually paid for the house. Carol says that's such an arbitrary, unreasonable way to deal with property owners. Even better, Carol says, get rid of property taxes. People never really own their homes here. If you pay off your mortgage in Montana, the state owns it and can evict you if you can't keep up with the ever-increasing taxes. Some people's taxes now exceed the mortgage payment they had when they first bought their homes. Impoverishing citizens through taxes doesn't make for a successful government. No one-time rebates. That is not a long-term solution. Now, the governor did talk about yesterday about the homestead property tax exemption to benefit Montana property owners. So he did cover that, later after Carol's message came in. A listener in Roundup had a question here. Is the Department of Government Efficiency still planning on sending out relief checks, or have they even decided to do so? I know that was talked about last week, where they were talking about maybe sending a dividend check out with all the money that they're saving, giving that money directly to the American people. I haven't heard more conversations about that. I know Thursday, when David Noble joined us in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, we were discussing that a little bit, but I haven't heard more if that idea is getting any more traction. I know Speaker of the House Mike Johnson and others kind of pushed back on that concept. And then Dan in Wolf Point, or Dan in Vida, asked a question that I know Larry in Great Falls and many of us have been asking time and time again. Any traction on ending income tax at the state level on Social Security and military retirement? Of course, for Dan and Vida, the military retirement, they've already taken a big chunk out of those taxes on those pensions, but Social Security, the job still needs to get done on that front. So that was just some of the messages that came. Was a different Harriet Hageman clip that I was looking at before, but I think she does her nice little Liz Cheney opener pretty early on in her CPAC speech. Let's see. Here we go. Courtesy of Right Side Broadcasting Network, Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman being introduced at CPAC over the weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman.
That's like a rodeo intro. That's a great intro there at CPAC. You think you're at the PBR right now. Good stuff. All right, here she comes up. I think she gets to it pretty early on here, if I'm not mistaken. Full video at MontanaTalks.com, of course. Here she goes.
I bring you greetings from the great state of Wyoming. Home of an abundance of affordable and reliable energy, wildlife galore, wide open spaces, gorgeous rivers and streams, magnificent mountains, beautiful blue skies, and not one Liz Cheney anywhere to be found. In 2024, Wyoming provided President Trump with his largest margin of victory of any state in the nation, and we are so proud of the job that he is doing. We are ecstatic that he is exposing and eradicating the massive government waste, fraud, and abuse that we have known for decades has been happening, and yet no one before would do anything about it. We are overjoyed that he has tasked Elon Musk and his team with overseeing Doge, using their skills to implement what may be the closest thing to zero-based budgeting that we will ever see in the federal government. We are thrilled that he recognizes that we are a government of, by, and for the people, and that its primary purpose is to protect the homeland and secure our God-given rights and freedoms. It is quite apparent that the Democrats long ago stopped caring about the concerns of working-class people. The truck drivers, farmers, airline employees, miners, custodians, and construction workers, among others. And they paid for such neglect by being shellacked in the last election. But far be it for them to undertake a legitimate self-assessment of their policies and ideas. They are instead engaging in kabuki theater while standing in front of government agencies, screaming their opposition to everything good and just generally making fools of themselves. The agencies that they have chosen for their performance art are telling, are they not? The Department of Education, a $270 billion woke monstrosity that has presided over the steady and unrelenting decline of public education. And USAID, a $50 billion anti-American purveyor of ideology so toxic that even the bureaucrats who worked there knew they had to hide their programs so that they could continue to fund such things as transgender comic books in Peru. So,
all right, we're going to hold it right there. But the full speech by Congresswoman Hageman, go to MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Harriet Hageman, yeah, she had some great comments there. She was talking about the wasteful spending being identified by Doge, being identified by Elon Musk and team. That reminds me, Jesse Waters last night, he had a couple he had a great segment all around, great show all around, but there were a couple of different clips in particular that I wanted to highlight here this morning. What about all of the money that's gone to Haiti over the years? And this is just such an example of government waste, fraud, and abuse, and just sheer incompetence. Sheer incompetence. And by the way, I want to know how much waste, fraud, and abuse has been committed at the hands of the Clinton Foundation. You know, Bill and Hillary Clinton's slush fund. And anyway, listen to what Jesse Waters had to say when he talked about just about how much money was going to Haiti vis-a-vis you, the taxpayers, and how much of it actually ended up going to actually help anybody.
USAID's been emptied out. 2,000 workers were just fired. Should have taken the buyout while you had the chance. It does make sense, though. They didn't want to leave because the gravy train was just too thick and tasty. For Haiti alone, USAID doled out $2 billion in contracts. Guess how much of that money actually went to Haiti? 2%. Only 2% of the $2 billion went to where it was supposed to. Half of it went to all of these aid groups based around D.C., you know, you can't give it to Haiti directly. They'd just steal the money. So we're going to give it to all of our liberal friends who won't steal the money. And then they'll give it to Haiti. But they didn't. Are liberals just stealing from poor black people and calling it compassion? A New York Post report says the Red Cross raised $500 million for Haiti. And that money was supposed to build homes for 130,000 people. They built six. $500 million to build six homes in Haiti.
Wow. Although that's pretty successful if you compare it to how many EV charging stations that Pete Buttigieg built as transportation secretary under Joe Biden. Remember, they spent billions on EV charging stations. And how many? They didn't even, I think John Tester has more fingers than the number of EV charging stations that were built by Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden, and yet billions were wasted on that Green New Deal garbage. And yet they couldn't give $200 million to repair the St. Mary irrigation project on the entire High Line of Montana. $200 million. Hell, I think we spent $200 million on the Montana Historical Society in Helena alone.
cool project. I'm not criticizing the Montana Historical Society building, but what I'm saying is, like, okay, somehow people could rally up the cause to build a building in Helena that cost over $100 million. Heck, remember, they were trying to build an aquatic center in Billings. The aquatic center and then some of the other park stuff they were going to do was going to cost over $100 million. But $200 million to repair the St. Mary Irrigation Project, which is the lifeline of the High Line, provides clean drinking water for the entire High Line, recreational opportunities, fuels the farms and ranches that feed the state, that feed the world. And then you have this catastrophic failure on the system last year. They couldn't find $200 million to just do everything that needs to be done. But by golly, all that money for Haiti that built six homes. What kind of homes were they trying? Were they building at the Yellowstone Club? My goodness. All right, there's more where that came from, but first let's go into the phone lines here. We've got Steve in Ballantyne on the line this morning. Steve, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. Well, I was listening to that news break, and they said the food stamp program is up in the last 4 years 30%. Now, I don't know. I think I probably have, but there was a time we need to start trying to enforce these programs instead of just sitting there and letting them grow, because I was at a Albertson store a few years ago, and I watched a younger couple, and she was so well-dressed, and she had the fanciest purse, and she was doing the WIC program, and she did three of them, and they were only good for $10 a voucher, and I literally stood there, Aaron, and watched her do them, and the last one, she had one apple too much in produce, and the teller took the apple away. She couldn't even reach in her purse and grab whatever, 50 cents, 25 cents for a stupid apple. I watched it. So we need to enforce the program, so I know it's tough, but we need to get these people off the government dole. We just do somehow, because I watched that.
Well, what Democrats want to do is they want more people to be dependent on the government, and because then they see that as more people voting for them. Yeah, I think the American people would be amazed if they knew just how much of our money is taken from you, taken from our other listeners, and then handed to other people. And one thing that this is kind of an interesting sidebar, since you're into this topic in particular, Steve, check out thefederalist.com this morning. Tristan Justice has a piece. Let me see if I can pull it up here real fast. I always print way too many things, so I thought, I'm trying not to print everything, but you never know what's going to come up. You never know what we're going to talk about. Case in point right here. But he's got a piece where basically congressional Republicans are trying to – there's all sorts of unhealthy food and sugary drinks that are paid for by food stamps. And so I think what these folks are saying is, like, okay, if we're going to use taxpayer dollars to fund food, why don't we fund healthy stuff instead of the unhealthy stuff here? Here you go. A pair of Republican senators are taking aim at taxpayer subsidies for hyper-addictive junk food delivered to the poor under SNAP. Last week, Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah and Senator Katie Britt of Alabama introduced the Healthy SNAP Act, which would reform federal food stamps to prohibit items with virtually zero nutritional value, such as candy and soda. You know, you think about this. Not only is this kind of like a DOGE effort to save money, but it's also about making America healthy again as well. That's the other part of the equation here. Evan and Belt sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Evan and Belt said this, you know, talking about all this wasteful spending and everything else. Oh, yeah, Bruce and Ennis just sent us one as well. We need DOGE in Montana government. Audit these agencies.
I agree, Bruce. I think we've had some great efforts with the governor's red tape relief initiative, but I agree with you. We need a doge of Montana, too. Evan in Belt says, I'm having a difficult time understanding all these Democrats running around with their hair on fire about federal employees having to list five things they did in the past week. Whatever happened to ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Makes you wonder if JFK could even make it in today's leftist Democrat Party. Although, Evan, to be honest, JFK didn't make it in his day's Democrat Party. I mean, if we're really being honest, right? Jesse Waters featured CNN and the angry federal worker who was dared to ask what she actually accomplished last week.
Tell us about this email and what it was like receiving it and what you all have talked about after getting it.
Sure. I got this email Saturday afternoon about 3 p.m. and I felt absolutely infuriated getting this email with a demand within 48 hours to provide a response on what I did within the last week or face termination. This is clearly an attempt from Elon Musk to harass and bully and intimidate the federal workforce.
Putting together a list of accomplishments was maybe the most work some of these bureaucrats did all year. If it's that hard for you to name five things you've accomplished in a week, that should tell you something. And if it makes you mad or infuriated that you're being asked, that should also tell you something.
Yeah, it tells you she should lose her job pronto. What a waste of taxpayer money. All right, we've got about a minute before the break, and then the legislative update. Let's see, Nancy in Roundup wants to talk about Bill Clinton. What do you want to share about Bill Clinton? Nancy, thanks for the call.
Well, him and his wife, of course, rotten all the way back to their Whitewater, Arkansas real estate deals. But I'll tell you what's going to happen to Clinton. Attorney General Pam Bondi has the Epstein Island list. And I'm sure that she will expose it as soon as Kasia Patel gets all settled in. And that's where he's going to really get the firing squad. And I'll tell you another one that's sweating at the collar, and that's Bill Gates. He is really worried about this list. He has lobbied Democrats for years to try to get his name off of the Epstein Paradise Passion Island caper.
Yeah, sounds like cutesy time is over, as Deputy Director of the FBI Dan Bongino soon to be will tell us, right?
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The newly elected German Chancellor vows real independence from an indifferent U.S. We're not an indifferent U.S. What Donald Trump is saying is he wants free and fair trade, and reciprocal tariffs will be put in place if the European Union and India and Canada keep putting tariffs on us. And what is Germany going to do? Continue to make deals like they made with Vladimir Putin? And that's going to be their new trusted ally for the source of the lifeblood of their economy, energy, in light of his track record? Good luck following that policy. In the end, they'll all come around, is my prediction. In the end, they don't understand to this day, which is kind of amazing to me, how Donald Trump operates.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Look, this country was founded on freedom. Freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then trying to blockade us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw your overpriced big wireless contract overboard as well. Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. With a qualifying plan, you can choose an iPhone 14 or a Samsung Galaxy for $0. And yes, this is for premium service on America's most dependable 5G network. Get your iPhone 14, Samsung Galaxy, $0 qualifying plan by dialing #250. Say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. No hassle, no gimmicks, just honest to goodness wireless price right. #250, keyword save now. Claim your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, which is America's wireless company. Visit puretalk.com for details.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, look for partial sunshine at times. Can't rule out a chance for an early day rain shower for Billings and a chance for some light rain or snow showers for Bozeman. High temperatures by this afternoon reaching up into the mid-40s for Billings, upper 30s for Bozeman. For tonight, mid-20s for Bozeman, lower 30s, though, for lows for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
When it comes to the issue of abortion, one of the most powerful tools in the pro-life camp is the existence of pregnancy resource centers. When you juxtapose them with abortion clinics, the contrast is stark. It all starts with the reason for their existence. Pregnancy resource centers exist to promote life and minister to women faced with an unplanned pregnancy. Compassion is the name of the game. Abortion clinics exist for one reason and one reason only, to make money. That's a quote from Abby Johnson, who used to run one of the most lucrative Planned Parenthood facilities in the United States. So lucrative, in fact, that Abby was named Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year. She's now one of the most outspoken pro-life voices in the United States. Another difference between pregnancy centers and abortion clinics is that they treat the whole person. From medical advice from licensed physicians, to pregnancy tests and ultrasounds, to pregnancy and child-rearing classes, they do everything in their power to help women who decide to carry their babies to term. And it's not just the moms. They work with the dads as well, because successful parenting is a team sport. Pregnancy centers have evolved over the years, both in terms of scope and professional services. They're now so successful at caring for moms, dads, and babies that they're cutting into abortion clinic profits, and the abortion clinics are fighting back. In state after state, they've proposed heavy-handed and oftentimes unreasonable regulations whose sole purpose is to make it more difficult for pregnancy centers to operate. That's bad enough. Now they're taking the fight to a whole new level. In recent years, Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers are pushing states to pass regulations that would force pro-life pregnancy centers to hand out pro-abortion literature and display advertising that tells women where to go to get an abortion. Not surprisingly, the first of these laws was passed by the California legislature in 2015. Go figure. It was called the Reproductive Fact Act, and Kamala Harris, as the state attorney general at that time, was a co-sponsor of the bill and its primary enforcer. The bill forced pro-life pregnancy centers to display notices telling women where they could go to get taxpayer-subsidized abortions. 70 pregnancy centers were affected and faced fines of $500 for the first offense and $1,000 for all subsequent offenses. This was government-compelled speech at its worst, and the pregnancy centers sued, ultimately winning a narrow 5-4 decision in the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, fast forward to 2025 and the Montana legislature, where the House of Representatives just passed House Bill 388, sponsored by Amy Regeer, a registered nurse and chair of the House Judiciary Committee. The meat of the bill is in Section 2 and says that the state or a local government may not require pregnancy centers to offer or perform abortions, provide or distribute abortion-inducing drugs, refer a patient for an abortion, counsel a patient in favor of an abortion, or post flyers that promote abortion. It also says that the state or a local government may not prohibit pregnancy centers from providing care or counseling related to pregnancy or parenting, or prohibit pregnancy centers from providing postnatal resources such as diapers, baby clothes, baby furniture, or formula. Whether compelled speech or compelled action, government has no right to force people to say or do things that violate their consciences. Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers opposed House Bill 388, but to no avail. It passed out of the committee on a party-line vote and was debated on the floor last week Thursday. Once again, it passed the floor on a party-line vote, 58 to 42, and is now headed for the Senate. This is a great bill, and we'll keep you posted as it progresses. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
See, isn't it interesting? A great report by Jeff Laszlofy there. The radical left and the Planned Parenthood abortion mill lobby, they don't want to only do outrageous things. They want to force you to support it with your money and through compelled speech. Absolutely insane.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's an old Monty Python's comedy skit with an Imperial movie producer who summarily fires any one of his sycophant employees who comes up with an idea he doesn't like. The humor is watching them fly off the handle with inane ideas to try to curry favor. That image comes to mind as we watch the seismic shifts in federal policies of late, once requiring, now banning, hiring and spending policies that promote various social priorities. There are serious changes with many ramifications, not to mention being a theatrical spectacle of firing, stoppages, and reviews. It's clear to capture our attention and provoke cheers and jeers from advocates on all sides. But a clear casualty has been the predictability of government policy that plays an important role in many business decisions. Setting the ground rules for working with government, however onerous and complex, is something that thousands of organizations have adapted to. Spinning on a dime to tear them up will be expensive, and the prospect of it happening again in 4 years is daunting. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.